Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon will begin in Luke chapter 2. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. The title for the sermon is "The Lamb Teaching the Teachers," or "Did You Bring a Sheep?" But first off, dating the text and digging into the times and the history, aligning things up, my best guess is the first few days of April in the year 9 AD. Jesus is 12 years old, and Mary and Joseph have been taking him to Jerusalem every year for the Passover. It was according to their custom. And you have to ask, is that in part because he is the Lamb of God, the one whom shepherds watching over temple and Passover sheep came to visit on his birthday, on the first Christmas? And I start exploring this with something that, well, yes, he is my favorite professor from seminary, Horace Hummel. On sacrifice, said one day in class, that the Old Testament never intended to teach, never was intended to teach, that coming and making a sacrifice can do away with sin. Instead, it was God inviting the people to come to his house, and there he would declare that they were forgiven. Oh, and by the way, bring a lamb and we'll have a meal together. That's what Professor Hummel said, phrasing it that way. Oh, and by the way, bring a lamb and we'll have a meal together. In the meal, the priests would be God's stand-ins to take his place at the table. In the sacrifice, it would be God's idea, God's plan and pattern, God's words, and God himself was the one who created and gave life to the sacrifice. It is all God's doing and all God's grace to them. There had then to be something behind the sacrifice, a reality that the sacrifice pointed to and was symbolic of, and that taught where forgiveness actually came from. Forgiveness then comes from the acts of God himself, knowing and naming the sins, and then covering them with the blood of the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb, marking the door way back in Egypt, pointed to the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as John said as he pointed to Jesus. And when Jesus entered the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you prepared for me." That's where the lesson from Hebrews 10. So here the setting. It is after the feast of the Passover, and the Passover lamb comes walking into the temple to sit down among the teachers of the law, asking questions and amazing them. The Passover lamb comes walking in after the celebration of the sacrifice of the Passover lamb and sits down among the teachers, and it is one of the fulfillments of the prophecy from Malachi chapter 3. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming. There are other times of fulfillment of that prophecy, such as when Jesus was presented in the temple and Simeon then sings the Nunc Dimittis. Or when Jesus enters the temple grounds and overturns the tables of the money changers. And it's the next line in the prophecy in Malachi that comes into focus. Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. Or when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and entered the temple. There are others, but this one was to suddenly be there, being the messenger of the covenant. And when Mary and Joseph came to collect him, after 3 days, does that sound like a pattern? After 3 days finding him, Jesus let them know exactly who he is, and that he was there to finally do all of the temple things, and do them in his own body. Now, teacher loves to have that one student that comes along every so often, that one student who asks questions that shows that they have an understanding beyond what was just said. Brings out things that we don't always see as the teachers. And going off on this detour, yes, I have to. I still remember the day in confirmation class years and years ago when Sarah, that was her name, asked, "So can I call baptism the wet word?" And the rest of the lesson stopped. Because in that question, there was an understanding of the connection between the Word of God and the sacrament of baptism, where the Word came through baptism in being joined with the water, and more on that next Sunday, which is the Sunday of the baptism of our Lord. But we had to stop right then. And then we had to figure out what we were going to call the Lord's Supper, something that had word in it. And we tossed a few things around in class and then finally came up with calling it the tasty word. So you have the simple word, the wet word, and the tasty word. So the Passover lamb was there in the temple that day asking questions. What kind of questions, I wonder? Well, it might be things like this. If the ram up on the mountain with Abraham and Isaac was a substitute for Isaac, who's the real substitute? And when God said to Abraham, "You have not withheld your son, your only son," is that actually God showing to Abraham something about God himself? That he would not withhold his only son? And the Passover lamb. If all of the sacrifices are pointing to something within God, is the Passover lamb a person? After all, Isaiah says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Is the Passover lamb a person? maybe one from later in the Gospels that we actually read of Jesus asking this. Who is the son of David? Since David calls him Lord? You see, there are a lot of questions asked in the Bible. And in fact, a lot of the early parts of Jesus' teaching was to raise questions and guide the disciples through asking those questions and learning the answers. A lot of the Gospel of Matthew, such as that time in the synagogue with the man with the withered hand, when Jesus asked them if it was right to heal on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were an incredible disappointment that day because they refused to join in pondering through that question. And then in Matthew 16, when Jesus takes his disciples aside and asks them, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus immediately then begins to teach them about the cross. Because you see, that's where everything is heading and everything is pointing toward. And there is a fascinating difference between the two sides of prophecy, not prophecy and fulfillment, no, the two sides. The side that we have as the hearers receiving the prophecies is one. And the other side is Jesus being the one right in the middle of the prophecies. Jesus, who is the living fulfillment of the prophecies. Jesus, who does the prophecies in his own life and flesh and acts. It means one thing to hear about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and it is quite another to be the Lamb who says, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. And ponder for some time what it would be like to be in the middle of the prophecy. Because right there in the middle of the prophecy, you know what is there. It is the cross. The cross where everything points to it. The cross of Jesus where we have our new beginning. We have a new beginning today. We have a new beginning every year. We have a new beginning every day and every moment. Because in the cross of Jesus, we have eternity. That's the message of the covenant. But to bring in one more part from the prophecy, there is that other part to consider for this year. He is like a refiner's fire, and he will purify. Let's go into 2021, focusing, renewing our focus on the cross of Jesus and what it is to which Jesus is calling us. Eternal life and holiness. In Jesus' name, amen.